Good morning. It's good to be able to connect with you, especially in the season that we're in. And just in case you've forgotten, we are not only in the season of the COVID crisis, we are actually in the season of Lent. It's the time in the Christian calendar in which we remember the life and ministry of Jesus, especially the 40 days and nights that he spent in social isolation in the wilderness, being tempted by Satan. It was during that period of isolation and temptation that Jesus grew even deeper in his relationship with God and in his sense of mission. Indeed, Luke 4:14 tells us that Jesus emerged from that experience in the power of the Spirit and immersed himself into full-time ministry among the people. This year, the whole world is practicing social isolation during the season of Lent. Although most people are doing it because of the COVID crisis, I pray that it would be a time of great spiritual growth and renewal. For as we will see in today's story from Luke 7, crisis can be an opportunity to discover the power and presence of Jesus in new, life-changing ways. In the opening sermon in our series, One Savior, Many Nations, we explore Jesus' famous sermon in Luke 4, the one he gave in his hometown synagogue. It was a challenging message that had his congregation ready to lynch him because it went against the grain of those who wanted to hoard God's blessings all for themselves. Indeed, Jesus emphasized how God's call and way had always been to be a blessing to all the nations. To illustrate his point, Jesus highlighted two Old Testament stories about the prophets, Elijah and Elisha, and he highlighted how they were both called to be instruments of God's blessing to outsiders. One of those outsiders, Naaman the Syrian, was a political enemy of Israel, a general in the Syrian army who found himself plagued by a disease that required permanent social distancing. But on the advice of his Jewish slave girl, who told him all about the power of her God to heal, he sought out Elisha and took the step of humble faith that he needed to find healing. As Luke continues his story of the life and ministry of Jesus, it's clear that he sees in Jesus a boundless desire and ability to bring the hope and healing of God to all people. Just how far and wide God's love and power are willing and able to reach are demonstrated in today's story in Luke 7. Let's read it. When Jesus had finished saying all this to the people who were listening, he entered Capernaum. There, a centurion's servant, whom his master valued highly, was sick and about to die. The centurion heard of Jesus and sent some elders of the Jews to him, asking him to come and heal his servant. When they came to Jesus, they pleaded earnestly with him, "This man deserves to have you do this because he loves our nation and has built our synagogue." So Jesus went with him. He was not far from the house when the centurion sent friends to him, "Lord, don't trouble yourself, for I do not deserve to have you come under my roof. That is why I did not even consider myself worthy to come to you. But say the word, and my servant will be healed. For I myself am a man under authority with soldiers under me. I tell this one, 'Go,' and he goes, and that one, 'Come,' and he comes. I say to my servant, 'Do this,' and he does it." When Jesus heard this, he was amazed at him, and he, turning to the crowd following him, he said, "I tell you, I have not found such great faith even in Israel." Then the men who had been sent returned to the house and found the servant well. If you have your Bible open, just take a quick glance back to chapter 6, and you'll notice that Luke puts this story in the context of Jesus' famous Sermon on the Mount. That sermon was about what life in God's kingdom is life as God intended and intends it to be. It's a place, for example, where poor and hungry and grieving people find hope and healing to the point where they are able to do something that they thought they would never be able to do. Laugh. Yes, it says, "Blessed are you who weep now, for you will laugh." That is the depth in which God is able to change even deep grief into great joy. In Luke 7:2, we're introduced to a man in crisis because his servant, whom he valued highly, it says, was sick and about to die. All of us have found ourselves or will find ourselves in crisis. A health crisis, perhaps. A financial crisis. A family crisis from all the time we're spending together during the social isolation from others. Or perhaps an emotional crisis. I had a message recently from someone absolutely overwhelmed by anxiety. You know what? I had to admit that I too have times where I am overwhelmed by anxiety. It feels like I'm white knuckling my way through life trying to hang on for dear life. You know, by nature, a crisis lands us in a place in which we find life beyond our control, like the centurion did in our story. From the nature of his rank and role in the Roman army, we can assume that he was a person used to being in control. But when a person within his own home suddenly became deathly ill, he knew he needed help from a far higher power than himself, or than anyone in his circle of influence. As the centurion was wondering what on earth to do, Luke tells us that he heard of Jesus. I wonder what he heard of Jesus, don't you? As I was pondering that, I remembered that back in chapter 4, verse 31 to 37, Jesus had been in Capernaum before, this centurion's hometown. Luke said that Jesus had been teaching the people in the Capernaum synagogue and that they were amazed at his teaching. And when he followed up his message with a miracle that showed the evil spirits who was bossed by casting them out of a man who was plagued by them, all the people, it says, were amazed by his authority and power, and the news about him spread faster than a presidential tweet. Well, really fast. So when the centurion's servant was on death's door, Jesus was the one person he could think of who would have the power and authority to tell disease and death where to go. Reminded this week, I was talking with a fellow pastor, Pastor Larry, and he had a phone call from a gentleman who phoned him up and he wanted to be baptized as soon as possible. Though he had never met Pastor Larry, he was obviously desperate for divine protection and thought baptism would do it. So he did something that was outside of his comfort zone. He phoned up a pastor and asked to be baptized. Well, what the centurion in this story did was also something outside of his comfort zone. He decided that he would plead his case with Jesus. Maybe Jesus would come and save his beloved servant. But there was a problem, a big obstacle, a barrier that this current COVID crisis has given us a feeling for: social distancing. You see, the centurion was a Gentile and Jesus was Jewish. Jews and Gentiles practice social distancing measures. So why would Jesus even bother to help him? That's why the centurion decided to ask some Jewish leaders that he knew to use their connection to Jesus. After all, Jesus had been teaching in their synagogue, right? So he asks if they will talk to Jesus for him and tell him how desperately he needs Jesus' help. You know, I find when I read these stories, it's helpful to put ourselves in different places in the story, in the shoes of the centurion, that man in desperate need. But also think about putting yourself in the shoes of his servant who is on death's door. And I think also in the shoes of the centurion's friends. Because those of us who know Jesus will be asked to help get in touch with him and to talk to Jesus on their behalf. We call it praying, but it's about talking to Jesus on their behalf, asking him for the help that they so desperately need. Well, the Jewish leaders not only go to Jesus. Luke tells us in verse 4 that they pleaded earnestly with him and told him how this man deserves to have you do this. Why? Because of his love for the Jewish nation he had shown when he helped build their synagogue. Perhaps not build the whole thing, but maybe he provided the funds. Maybe he used his soldiers to be the manpower. We don't know, but he did it. And Jesus responds to this request. It says, so Jesus went with them. Why did Jesus go with them, I wonder? Because this man had been a good Gentile and deserved his help? I mean, it's clear that's what the Jewish leaders were thinking, as we see and hear in their appeal to Jesus. It's how we often think. But is this how Jesus thinks? Is it even how the centurion thinks? Well, let's see. Now, when the centurion looked out his window and realized that Jesus was coming and was not far from his house, he could have been pleased to know that he carried enough weight in his community to have Jesus come to his home in person, that he deserved Jesus' help, or was deserving of it. But it becomes clear that's not what he's thinking. No, he realizes that he is causing more trouble for Jesus than he's worth. Why? Because he knows that the social distancing rules that Jesus is going to be breaking if he enters a Gentile's house. You see, Jesus would become contaminated, ceremonial unclean, and he'd have to go through extensive cleansing protocols. So the centurion quickly sends another delegation, one comprised of his friends who are with him. He quickly sends them to intercept Jesus with an urgent message. Lord, don't trouble yourself. I do not deserve to have you come under my roof. That is why I did not even consider myself worthy to come to you. Rather than feeling like he deserves Jesus' help, he feels totally undeserving. Rather than pulling out a long grocery list of demands because he's got Jesus' undivided attention, he suggests an alternative. The bare minimum, the one thing he desperately needs from Jesus for his servant to be healed in this crisis. Jesus, just say the word and my servant will be healed, for I myself am a man under authority with soldiers under me. I tell this one, go, and he goes, and that one, come, and he comes. I say to my servant, do this, and he does it. So, Jesus, just say a word, and it'll be enough. Do I believe that? Do you believe that? Do we believe that just a word from Jesus can and will be enough to help us in our crisis? To calm the storm of anxiety when it threatens to overwhelm us, to provide for us when we've been laid off. You know, God reminded me of a word that he gave me years ago when I lost my job. During a time of prayer in that season, when I finally stopped talking and was quiet long enough to listen, I sensed him saying to me, Dave, I will provide for you. I always have. And then he reminded me that even though he had often provided for me through a regular paycheck, the paycheck was never my ultimate source of provision. He was. And the paycheck had been the means, the way in which he had provided. And in this season of his provisions, I sensed him saying, we're going to change. But the bottom line, Dave, I will provide for you. I always have. And he did, in amazing ways that I don't have time to tell you, but I'd be glad to ask me about it, and I'd be glad to tell you. Well, the centurion's friends who delivered this message and those with Jesus who heard it must have been waiting on the edge of their seats for what Jesus would say and do next. But I don't think any of them were prepared for Jesus' response. I wasn't. For it says that when Jesus heard this, he was amazed at him. Now, I want us to pause here for a moment because that word translated amazed is a very strong word in Greek. Thaumazo, if you want the Greek word. It's a word, though, used almost exclusively in the Gospels to describe how people respond to what Jesus says and does. So in Luke 4, that we looked at a few weeks ago, it says they were amazed at his teaching. They were amazed at his power and authority to heal. It's a word used when you know that what you have just heard and seen is jaw-dropping. Shocking. It's got to be something of God. And yet, here we have one of the few places where Jesus is the one who is said to be amazed by the amazing faith of this Gentile. How sweet the sound of that centurion's words of complete trust in Jesus. What makes his faith so amazing is not its complexity, but its simplicity. From the centurion's line of work, he knows how authority works. And he regards Jesus as having that same kind of military authority, not just over people, but over sickness and death. If Jesus says that someone is going to get well, they will. What could be more simple or straightforward than that? Despite his lack of religious background, this Gentile had grasped the very essence of the Jewish faith. He believed that the one true God, the God of Israel, was the one in ultimate control. And he also grasped what so many in Israel had not, that this one true God was personally present and active in Jesus of Nazareth. He believed that in Jesus he had found the chief, the head cheese, the top dog, the Lord and master of all. This was the kind of faith Jesus was looking for, but had rarely, if ever, seen. Was the centurion right to place such wholehearted confidence in Jesus' power and authority to resolve his crisis? Absolutely. For when the centurion's friends returned to his house, it says they found his beloved servant alive and well. Great story, right? But you may be thinking, David, that was his story, his happily ever after, but it's not mine. And I'd have to agree with you on that. His story, it's his miracle. It can't be cloned and replicated indiscriminately because it's personal. Jesus always does things on a case-by-case basis, not with a one-size-fits-all approach. Read the gospel stories, talk to other believers about their faith stories, and you'll find Jesus is famous for his personal touch. He cares for us in ways that are personalized, in ways that have his fingerprints all over them. And so he wants us, he needs us to talk things through with him, not to demand things from us, from him, but to tell him how we really feel, to humbly ask him for what we need for ourselves and our loved ones, and to boldly take him at his word. Let's pray. Lord, we know that you have the ability to provide for us and the ability to amaze us. But we did not realize that when we simply take you at your word, we have the opportunity to amaze you. That is good news I was not prepared to hear. But it was the good news that I needed to hear. It humbles and amazes me and leaves me wanting to fall at your feet in thanksgiving and praise. Grant us today the gift of amazing faith that puts its trust in you and gives to give us exactly what we need, as well as what those around us need. And give us the opportunity to share a story of your faithfulness with others, that they too might find in you a Savior whose love knows no limits. Amen. Hey, church. Also wanted to take a few moments just to update you on a number of items. One, as you know, the Cold Weather Mat program had to be canceled for this year, but Debbie Fell and a group of volunteers have been regularly making lunches. And we really appreciate the work that they are doing and the many volunteers that are contributing food. I know just a week ago I was talking to Debbie and the team, as you can see, and they were making sandwiches and were talking about how they were running out of food. 2 days later, I got an email and she told me, "The freezer's full, the fridge is full, God has provided." It's wonderful how God does that. Some of you are also wondering about ways to connect. I encourage you to continue to do that by phone. Keep checking out the ERBF Facebook. Lots of good stuff happening there. And also, Bruce Hedridge and I are going to be hosting kind of Get Connected opportunity online this Wednesday evening at 7. Check that out on our website, the info there. And also, some of you have been asking about giving. Can't just show up on any time at the church and give, although you should know that we do have a mailbox just outside the church. You can see on the picture there where you can drop it off any time, day or night, when you're going by to when you're dropping off, getting your groceries and you want to drop it off. You can still use snail mail if you're using checks as well. But also you can go online giving. There's a designated giving form that you can do through your banking institution or using your credit card through Tithely. So just encourage you to keep connected and to keep everyone and our community especially and our country in your prayers.